You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is Anthony DeComa with MLB.com, here with Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard. And Noah, you're here in camp this year. A year ago at this time, you weren't sure what was going to happen, whether you were going to make the team. You were fighting for that. Probably needed to start off in the minors, and you did, and you made some adjustments and ultimately made it up. How is this different this year, coming into camp and knowing you're a part of this now, you're a big part of this, versus where you were a year ago at this time?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, the first thing I can notice the difference between this year and last year. I mean, last year really didn't have anything to do with it, but us going to the World Series this year, I mean, the first thing you'll notice when you step in our clubhouse as position players start to trickle in is the huge amount of energy that we have going on already, and it's only really 5 days into camp. And not only do you see it from us, you see it from our fans too. You step outside and we have hundreds of people already lined up along the fence just to watch us get ready and prepare for the season, so that's something really cool. As far as individually, last year coming into spring training, I didn't really know what my future held. This year I have a pretty good idea that I'll be breaking with the team and in that rotation along with Harvey, DeGrom, Mats, and Colon and Wheeler coming on here in July. That's about it.
Yeah, well, you went through your struggles early on, both in the minors and then after you made it to the majors. What was sort of that turning point for you where you realized that, hey, I belong here at the big league level, I can succeed here?
I feel like last year there was a game in mine. The results weren't the best, but I felt probably the most comfortable I've ever felt on the mound. I think it was the game in Philadelphia late in the season. I think I threw like five innings. Maybe I think I still had 10 strikeouts, but I gave up like two home runs or something like that. But everything felt like everything was starting to click. Everything was spot on. I had the most confidence in my changeup and my breaking pitches that game, which helped a lot. I think that's when I finally started to hit my stride and started to become consistent. I think that's the ultimate goal when you're in the big leagues is to be consistent. And I feel like that's what people have most trouble transitioning from the minor leagues to the big leagues is being consistent. Earlier in the season, you know, I had my struggles on the road, which was just no reason for it. Just so happened to be a coincidence, I guess. But I hit my stride halfway during the season after the Philadelphia start, and being able to work with Dan has just been a true joy because I think he's the most knowledgeable pitching coach around, and he makes it easy to learn and to pick up on things that he's teaching you just because he's got a great personality. He's a lot of fun. He makes coming to the ballpark fun, and he makes learning and becoming a better pitcher fun.
So then you make it to the playoffs, and I'll ask you about the World Series eventually, but I want to ask you first about the Dodgers series. Because okay. You came in relief there, and you were throwing 101 on the stadium gun, and people were oohing and aahing, and it was really electric, and you guys obviously wind up winning that pretty critical, pretty dramatic fifth game. What was that whole experience like for you? A, never having pitched in the playoffs before, obviously, but B, coming in there and doing what you did in a role that you're not used to.
It was nerve-wracking. I'm not going to lie. If anybody tells you that they weren't nervous, they're lying. Because I was very unfamiliar with both of those scenarios, both pitching in the playoffs. Game five in a one-run game. Somebody, normally for a rookie, I think that would be kind of crazy to even comprehend. But I just kind of didn't pay no attention to my age or my experience at that point. I just focused on that it's still the same game. It's something I've been doing since I could pick up a baseball. Just a little bit different circumstance, a little louder, and a lot more on the line.
And you've since then you've talked about, especially coming in this spring, about wanting to play the role of the intimidator or realizing that you can play that role. And we saw that during your World Series start, you said you had, in your press conference before, you said you had some tricks up your sleeve, I believe were your words, for Alcides Escobar, and you wind up buzzing him a little bit with the first pitch. What brought that about? How much of that is confidence that you have now, and just that role that you're able to play? I mean, talk about that night, A, in the World Series, and what it's meant for you in your development.
I feel like that kind of persona has been kind of built up outside of what I've been doing, just because, I mean, if you know me personally, it's not like I'm this type of badass that's just going to have a chip on its shoulder at all times when I'm in the clubhouse. If anybody that knows me, that's the complete opposite. But once I'm on the field, I use my size and the power that I have and my advantage, and that's something that I do. I think it's being able to throw inside, being able to intimidate hitters is part of the game. It's any kind of competitive edge you see throughout sports.
When did you decide you were going to try and knock down Escobar that night?
I think it was probably after Harvey's game one. That's when I was like, I'll think about it. And then after game two, he swung at DeGrom's first pitch fastball as well. And I could throw a curveball or I could send a message. And I took the other road, so.
So you've lived in Texas your whole life.
Correct.
You spent this winter in New York, or a large part of this winter.
3-4 weeks in New York.
Why was that important to you? I mean, we saw also your Instagram going around to sports games and everything. Why did you want to do that?
Just because I think it's the greatest city in the world. A guy growing up in a small town, I hadn't really seen a whole lot of things that I can see in New York. I first fell in love with it when I went to the Futures game for the first time. And just being able to experience what a city that I intend to call home, or home fields, for as long as my career will allow me to.
I know you're obviously a huge Game of Thrones fan. Are you a big TV guy in general?
I do like TV, yeah. I try to limit myself as possible. I've been trying to read a little bit more. But yeah, I'm a big fan of TV. Just got a lot of hobbies.
What else?
I like going out and shooting guns, hunting, anything outdoors, basically.
So what have you been reading?
Right now I'm in the middle of the Steve Jobs book.
Okay.
So.
Tale of Success.
Yep. It's taken me like 2 months to finish it, but I'll read it for a little bit and completely put it down for a couple weeks and have to backtrack and remember where I was at.
Any other TV shows besides Game of Thrones?
Like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul I'm getting into. Started a new show called Final. I've heard Mr. Robot's great, so I'll try watching that. How I Met Your Mother is always a classic, even though it shows no more. Still great to watch.
Well, we're down here in Florida for 7 weeks, so what sorts of things are you able to do down here for fun away from the stadium?
I'm not going to lie, the boredom's already starting to sink in a little bit. But I'll try to pick up fishing. I'm not the best at it. Don't know much about it, but it seems like something to do. Get my golf club sent out here, so I can do that. Just get my mind right and get ready to come back to New York.
Last thing I'll ask you, and I know you get asked this a lot, but you're here in the clubhouse in Port St. Lucie, and you've got your locker in a row that has Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Steven Matz, Zach Wheeler, and yourself. And that's not even including Bartolo Colon, who will be in the rotation on opening day. What is that like when you look around and see these guys and interact with these guys? And how good can you be? Because I think a lot of people are looking at you guys as the best pitching staff in baseball coming into this season.
I don't even think we've reached our climax or how good we can be because we're all just so young. McGrom's 27, Harvey 26. And so on. It's great. It's great to be a part of all those guys. We're always pushing each other to get better. We're always supporting each other, trying to pick up on certain things that someone might be doing that we could apply to our game because we all have similar tendencies throughout a game, and we all have similar stuff. But yeah, at the same time, we're still very, very different in the way how we approach things. But it's great to be in that mix of rotation. I'm excited to see where the next couple of years will take us.
All right, thank you. It's Noah Syndergaard, Mets pitcher, and I'm Anthony DiComo for MLB.com. Thanks for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.